Hi, this is Scott. I really appreciate our sponsors because they make the show possible. Today's show is sponsored by Developer Express. Become a UI superhero with DevExpress, controls, and libraries. Deliver elegant .NET solutions that address customer needs today by leveraging your existing knowledge. You can build next-generation touch-enabled solutions for tomorrow. You can download your free 30-day trial at dx.hanselminutes.com. That's dx.hanselminutes.com.
From hanselminutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 530. In this episode, Scott talks with Jen Looper about building native apps using NativeScript.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. Today, we're talking with Jen Looper about NativeScript. I understand that you were just at a conference. Was it an Angular conference about talking about this?
Yes, we were just at ngConf in Utah, in Salt Lake City, and that's the biggest and one of the most fun conferences I've ever been to, actually. It's the biggest Angular conference that it's actually a conference put on by the community, but the Google Angular team is heavily involved in it. So they do this every year, and this is their third year.
So it's kind of become the Angular Conf.
Definitely the Angular Conf in the U.S., and I'll be at Angular Connect in London in September as well.
All right. Very cool. Now, one thing, just in the interest of full disclosure, NativeScript is an open source project, and you can see it on GitHub. You can go to nativescript.org. It is financially supported, though, by Telerik. Telerik, coincidentally, has sponsored Hansel Minutes for a number of years. I didn't know any of this, though, when I invited you on the show, but I just want to make sure that people understand that you're on the show because NativeScript is cool, unrelated to any sponsorship relationship we have with Telerik, which is a great company, but unrelated.
Awesome.
Cool. So NativeScript is, you can go to nativescript.org. It's an open source platform, and it says for building native mobile applications. Mm-hmm. Is it its own language? Am I writing JavaScript? Am I writing some other special language?
Yeah, I think that the word NativeScript sometimes misleads some people because I was actually just at a meetup last night and they said, you know, so I have to learn a new language. Oh, no. No, actually, it's just using JavaScript to write native apps. So the word NativeScript is almost like a mashup of JavaScript plus native. So you're writing in JavaScript or TypeScript, if you so prefer. On the front end, you might use XML, and then you can style your app with CSS. And NativeScript is a runtime that allows you to use these languages to build a truly native app. So it's really a new technology, and it's a pretty exciting place to be right now.
So when I hear about native apps on native apps with JavaScript, I think, oh, wait a second, you're putting a fake native frame around something, and then you're just putting it in a web view. And like, it's like Cordova, right? Which we've all seen those kind of websites in a frame. They're kind of like fake apps.
Mini sites, yeah.
Mini sites. Yeah, exactly.
Right. So this is like the next generation after Cordova, I would say. And I don't want to disrespect, you know, the hybrid mobile app ecosystem because, I mean, we certainly still support the creation of hybrid mobile apps. And but they're running in a web view, so you're going to have a little bit of a lag because this wrapper does basically wrap web technologies. But it's a great way to build, you know, your cross-platform iOS, Android, even Windows phone apps quickly and easily with one code base, also using, you know, CSS and JavaScript. But it's running within a web view, so it does have a little bit of lag sometimes, and sometimes the look and feel and the kind of organic nature of the app just doesn't quite feel native unless you really know what you're doing and you're really, you know, using a lot of little plugins to create native interactions and that sort of thing. There are some great hybrid mobile apps out there, like Untapped is one, and it's perfectly adequate for what you need. But when at a certain point in every developer's life, there comes a time when you might want to have something with a little bit more of a native experience. And these new technologies like NativeScript are offering this ecosystem, and it's just being built up right now, and it's brand new, and it's really a fun place to be right now.
Yeah, I think you're far more polite than maybe I was. I don't mean to disrespect hybrid apps. I think the point is that as a user, mm-hmm. I don't want to smell an app that looks like it's been thrown together.
Oh, yeah. You know?
So I think hybrid apps have gotten a bad rap in the last several years when someone takes a mediocre mobile site, puts it in a frame and says, hey, look, website. But yeah. I agree that, like, whether it be Xamarin or Cordova tools, there are absolutely apps where you would tell me that that's not really a native app. And I'd be like, what? Like, that's insane. Well, and that's the best compliment, right, that you can give an app.
Yeah, my boss, Burke, actually, if you look on YouTube, he did the hybrid mobile challenge, sort of like the Pepsi challenge, you know, can you tell which is native, which is hybrid mobile? Of course, actually, both were hybrid mobile, so it was kind of really funny at the end. It's quite amusing if you look it up on YouTube. But our goal is to make truly native apps and make them as performant as native, because they are native. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So does that mean that I use JavaScript and I use what on the UI? You said XML, which is surprising.
Yeah, it's interesting. And a lot of the people coming from the Xamarin world using XAML, they might have a little more familiarity, with this technique. The JavaScript developers might look a little askance at this kind of putting together of the UI. But once you get into it, it starts to makes sense, and it feels almost like HTML, so it's not so bad. You know, if I can do it, anybody can do it. It's like the whole point of my career. If I can do it, you can do it. Okay. So you would use XML on the front end to write your UI, and then you would have code behind files written in JavaScript or TypeScript, and then you can style with a subset of CSS, and we have all of this documented if you go to nativescript.org. Look at the docs.
So how does the workflow work? I write my XML, my UI, in a non specific way. I'm not saying here's an Android button, here's an iPhone button. I just say here's a button, and I want it to look like this.
Exactly. So you can take a look again at the docs, but what we're doing is we're offering native script modules so that you don't have to write a native Android button and a native iOS button in JavaScript. You just use the tag button and with, you know, text equals push me and tap is go. And then this creates an abstraction. So the beauty of NativeScript is that abstraction that it makes to allow you to leverage, to bridge over to the native code behind the scenes. So there's a lot of work being done behind the scenes that is abstracted away from you. That's really helpful. But the other beauty of NativeScript, other than those abstractions, is that we do allow you to access all of the native APIs. And this is what sets us apart to some of the other people in this space. You can always take a look at the way native things are done natively and write JavaScript to leverage those native extras that you might need to leverage.
So if there's something that an Android phone can do of a certain flavor that an iPhone couldn't, you're writing effectively native code in JavaScript. You can call that API. If the API is visible to you, you can call it like any old API.
Exactly. And we're leveraging the JavaScript virtual machines to allow that translation to be made. And that's kind of the exciting bit. It just takes a little bit. You need to, you know, understand a little of the way that the native ecosystems work, and then you can write your JavaScript right on top of it. And it works really nicely. There's a couple of articles on nativescript.org on our blogs that explain, you know, how this is done. So it's really kind of a good read.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that there's no, like, bridging involved. It's not that you're marshaling things. It's just you're somehow writing native code and calling native code using the JavaScript VM, or you have a special runtime of your own.
Yeah, it's a runtime of our own, actually. So there's a little bit of marshaling going on. But yeah, I think that we have this very specific runtime that we use. Some other solutions, mm-hmm. you know, have more of a bridging or a wrapper solution. So everybody's trying to do the same thing, but in different ways.
Right. I've seen people say, well, we're using a web view and then we're using JavaScript within it. And then we're going to make native things available via the DOM and then kind of like a bottom up. And then other people say, no, we're going to start with JavaScript virtual machines like V8 or JavaScript Core and then modify those and then make the native APIs available to the VM directly.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we're doing. That's that latter piece. Absolutely. Yeah.
I see. So then that means you're getting basically the same kind of support that you would get writing like a desktop app in Chrome, like an Electron app. Like you're getting real access to the native stuff, just like you're like a native app in what's an example? Like Slack is a great example of an Electron app that doesn't really feel like a web app.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this works on iOS and Android.
Yes. And we're going to be supporting Windows Universal at some point in the near future. I think there's a proof of concept out there, actually, and all of this stuff is open source, so you can go tinker with it. So that's
So then I would be able to write a UWP app, and it would run anywhere that runs. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's something to think about. We also have an amazing community, and they're writing these really cool scaffolding projects. We have a wonderful Telerik developer expert called Nathan Walker, who's very active in the Angular community, and he's written something called, I think it's called Angular Seed Scaffolding, and it allows you to use your one code base to write for the web, for desktop, for and then for iOS and Android. He also has another scaffolding project called, I think it's Angular Native Script Magic. Okay. And that does the same sort of thing. So people are sort of helping you get started quickly by publishing these cool open source projects on GitHub. I just spun up a web app today and I'm like, oh my gosh, I just created, you know, web and native and it's sharing code and it's awesome. It's really fun.
So this came out in March of 2015. So you're a little bit over a year into it. And this was kind of a crowded space though, because you had PhoneGap early on, you had Cordova, then there was Titanium and Xamarin. Now there's this React Native. Where does NativeScript fit into that ecosystem?
Yeah. So, this is, like I said, the second generation after Cordova. So a lot of people are trying to solve this. You know, Titanium certainly been around doing the same sort of thing. I believe they use a bridging. As does React Native. Of course, the big difference between NativeScript and React Native is, of course, React Native is using React, whereas we have kind of hitched our wagon to the Angular ecosystem. So there are two ways to build NativeScript apps. You could build, you know, straight JavaScript, XML, CSS, or you can use the Angular integration that we have for Angular 2 very specifically. So that's a great way to go ahead and start building up your app. But yeah, and then the differentiator between us and, for example, you know, Xamarin would be, of course, they're using C#, you know, so everyone's picking kind of the language and the ecosystem that they prefer. And now they're able to leverage these new technologies to build nice native mobile apps. It's really fun.
So when I'm writing an app that I want to run everywhere, but I simultaneously want it to feel native, might I find myself saying, like, writing code that's like, well, if I'm on Android, call this native Android API. And if I'm on iOS, call this native iOS API. So which, how many times am I calling native APIs versus calling kind of universal native script runtimes?
Yeah, I have two apps in production, actually. One is a weather app and on Android and iOS, and the other is a game, both in NativeScript. And for the game, I did not use any specific native code at all because the module took care of me. But that kind of interface is more, you know, you're picking images and you're doing a fun. It was actually integrated to Clarify API, so the beauty of that app is not so much the nativeness of it, but the gamification of it. The other app is the weather app, and I did need to dig into the location modules and write a little bit of native code because iOS and Android get location quite differently. So you need to be able to know where you are so that you can get your local weather. So for that sort of use case, I did need to get a little bit more native than I actually was wanting to, but oh well, it's a good exercise, you know.
So forgive my ignorance, but is that a runtime thing where it's like, if I'm on iOS, do this, or is it more of an if def where it's like, you know, before compilation and then you make two different versions of the app?
Oh, yeah. It was just a switch because we have a module for the platform. So you can determine which platform you're on. If you're on iOS, then get my location in this way. And if I'm on Android, use the other way. So,
But do you know if that happens at runtime or if it happens at build time? Like you, when you build this, you have to make a separate APK for Android and an iOS package, right? So I'm just curious if there's if that's happening during compilation or if that's happening while it runs.
I believe it's during runtime.
Okay.
I believe so. I probably would want to verify that, but like it works.
Well, that's a great point though, that you can verify that because this is open source, right? I could go and look at this stuff.
Jump
right?
into the this code and just verify what I'm saying here.
That's really important. I think that's the fun part about this is that, you know, certainly we don't want to say that the source code is the docs because there's lots of great docs. Yeah. But anytime we do have a question like that, you can kind of just go poke around.
Absolutely. We're working very hard on our docs and our getting started guides. My colleague TJ and I are, you know, really hitting the getting started experience so that people can just dig in and then always have access to, you know, take a look at even the module code is open source. You can see exactly what's going on behind the scenes. You can create your own modules, and we're really encouraging people to create plugins as well. So that's a fun experience for them. The Slack community is terrific.
The docs are great. If you go to docs.nativescript.org under getting started, it says get started with JavaScript, of course. But then it says get started with TypeScript and Angular. Yeah. Now, I want to talk about Angular a little bit because you like I said, you've hitched your wagon to it. But it sounds like you can also just sit down and use TypeScript, and it works great.
Yeah, TypeScript is actually a first-class citizen in NativeScript. So the engineering team is all in Bulgaria, and they are big fans of TypeScript. So modules are all in TypeScript, and they just went on that from day one. So, and if you're going to be writing currently an Angular 2 app, you need to be writing your native script using TypeScript. I think in the near or far future, that might change and you can go ahead and write in JavaScript. But honestly, once you get into the TypeScript world, it's okay. You know, we can deal. We're big. We can manage.
Yeah, it seems like when the Google folks and the Angular folks were like, okay, TypeScript is not bad. It's not like tainted, or it's not some evil Microsoft thing that's going to ruin the world. They're like, oh, okay, this is cool. It gives us what we want with ES6 and beyond now without any stress. You get all the IntelliSense and stuff.
Oh, the IntelliSense. So, yeah. The Visual Studio Code is what I use right now. I switched out from Sublime. I'm loving it. It's an amazing IDE, and we have great native scripts integrations for Visual Studio Code with all the IntelliSense. I was at a meetup last night and made a mistake. I did a fancy quote instead of a plain quote, and IntelliSense picked it up just immediately. I could immediately fix it. And then since LiveSync was working on GeniMotion, everything just was beautiful. It was a heaven sent experience.
Interesting. So Visual Studio Code, can you do it in Visual Studio proper in the bigger Visual Studio, or do you really prefer the Visual Studio Code?
I'm on a Mac, so I do use Visual Studio Code. And it's funny because at ngConf, everybody was, except TJ was using Sublime, but he was really in the minority. It was kind of funny.
Hey, this is Scott. I wanted to tell you about LLBL Gen Pro, the leading entity modeling designer for your favorite .NET OR mapping framework. Version 5 was just released with some exciting new features like derived models, support for DTO class models, document databases, real-time validation, one-click relational model synchronization, and much, much more. You can read all about it at llblgen.com. That's llblgen.com. It's a fantastic product. It's been around for years, and you should check it out. LLBL Gen. It's funny how Sublime is kind of slowed down since Visual Studio Code came along. I think people are enjoying the IntelliSense support.
Definitely. Those squiggly red lines, you just love them after a while. It's a great thing to have. And then all the plugins that people are creating. John Papa has created these great Angular 2 snippet integrations. It's just really, really helpful for your workflow. The only thing about Visual Studio Code that I'm still not 100% ecstatic about is like the lack of tabs. I'm so used to that in Sublime, and we have arguments that go on and on. You know, man, we just need tabs, man. This shouldn't be so hard.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing. Put the pressure on that team and see if they'll do it, because they've also got their insiders build. You can have the daily builds of Visual Studio Code.
Ooh.
I started running those as well. So yeah, check those out. And they run side by side, so you can have your main stable Visual Studio Code and then your insiders build. So you get a preview of what's coming in the months to come.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, there is a ticket open, and we're arguing with the code team. You know, tabs, please. And they're like, nah.
So there is a native script extension for Visual Studio Code, as well as, you said, like things like snippets and IntelliSense. But you get like real debugging. Like you'll be in VS Code on a Mac, and it'll say launch on iOS emulator or attach on Android device. You really can go and do full debugging and step through.
Yes, with breakpoints. It's a beautiful.
On a Mac.
Yeah. And there's, so I spun up a site called nativescriptsnacks.com. So there's short little video tutorials and code snippets. And one of the first ones we have by Burke Holland, my manager, is how to leverage Visual Studio Code for debugging. And it's great. It's a great little intro and guide on how to really leverage Visual Studio Code. And I think I'm going to open up that Windows machine and get Visual Studio working and see how far we can get with this sort of thing too.
And this is, so like we mentioned at the beginning, is supported by Telerik. But how does Telerik make money? Like, I know that when people put together open source projects and they get a sponsor, sometimes they, the sponsor sells support contracts or sells additional widgets or, you know, how does that work?
Yeah. And this is a question we get a lot, because the branding of NativeScript seems almost isolated from Telerik. And of course, Telerik is, was acquired by Progress. So we're, you know, Progress plus Telerik plus NativeScript. But the NativeScript team is, you know, deeply embedded within Telerik in Bulgaria. And, the, idea behind monetizing it is a little bit like what we did with Kendo. We have the, basic open source, you know, the whole project is basically open source, but if you want any kind of fancy UI, we have NativeScript UI, which is a separate product that you can use on top of NativeScript. Charting, let's see, there's menus, charts, charts of all different flavors, calendar, and very fancy lists. So you may or may not need that, but when you do, you may not want to build it yourself, in which case we can help you with that. and then the other monetization strategy is that NativeScript is tightly integrated with Telerik Platform, which is all the tooling that you're going to need around your mobile app delivery. So analytics, NoSQL database, push notifications, all of those sort of helpful tooling, even the little tools that help you make your, you know, size your icon, make your screencasts, share your code, all of these like helpful tooling around delivering mobile apps.
So it's like, I look at the Cordova as an example, like it's Apache Cordova. It's its own thing. You don't need Visual Studio to do any of those things, but Visual Studio has a Cordova thing. So you could buy Visual Studio and then use, you know, Cordova. So you can do NativeScript yourself in Notepad and at the command line.
Right.
Or you can, you know, start getting involved in the community and using different modules that people have created. And one of those that you could potentially purchase would be Telerik's UI on top of that.
Absolutely. Yes. And speaking of plugins, we also have our plugin ecosystem for Cordova, plugins.telerik.com. So that's, we do make our own plugins and we support those ourselves, especially for the Cordova system, but also for NativeScript, right? So we
plugins for Cordova too.
Oh yes, we've got a terrific. It's one of my favorite things about our Cordova support is the plugins. Yeah. So you know, if you need that location plugin, you just slam it in, and you're golden. So yeah, plugins.telerik.com is one of my favorite websites ever. It's just so helpful. Oh,
that's cool.
Yeah. Really great.
Huh. So the Angular stuff though. When did NativeScript go from just being a you know, kind of a core concepts and the core runtime to saying, you know, we think that the way to do it is with the Angular framework and their data binding and their model view controller style of thinking.
Right. So I think as soon as Angular 2 was announced, and it was made known how they were going to build Angular 2, which was decoupled from the DOM, all of a sudden a lot of people realized, oh my gosh, that opens up just a universe. Because in NativeScript, you know, there is no DOM. This is a native UI that we're building, so we need some other strategy. So we just started having meetings with these guys every week, actually, the core team in Bulgaria, wonderful engineers in Bulgaria, having these meetings every week with the Google team and just working with them from day one to get an integration going. It's been a very, very close relationship, especially with their love for TypeScript, our love for TypeScript. It's just sort of been, I hate this word, but it's synergy. So it just worked out beautifully.
Does this mean that if someone's listening and they're an Angular web developer and they really like Angular and they're using it at work and they know JavaScript, they may be mobile developers and not realize that there's an opportunity there?
Yes. I mean, if they're Angular 1 developers right now and they're looking to jump onto the Angular 2 bandwagon, or they're looking to use the ng migrate tools to migrate up to Angular 2, once you migrate up to Angular 2, really the universe is just going to open. There's Angular Universal. There's, of course, NativeScript. There's all sorts of awesome stuff. Angular Material, really exciting, world is opening up, I think. And I'm not even an Angular fan person, but I was so impressed by what I was seeing.
I think that the idea that I want to, you know, leverage existing skills and not just redo, like not just relearn something. Like, I know everyone says you're supposed to learn a new language every year and all that kind of stuff, but it gets a little exhausting.
It does.
And if I'm already an Angular person, I'm already into TypeScript, and it's like, oh, wait a second. There's a world I can jump in and I can be immediately productive making a mobile app. That's very comforting, especially when I think about people who have like corporate jobs or enterprise jobs. And it's like, you know, I really want to make a mobile app on the side, but learning iOS is exhausting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's just so daunting to think that you're going to have to, you know, deal with Xcode, write something in Swift or Objective-C, although actually I kind of like Swift, and then do it all again in Java, release twice. It's just like, it just makes your hair turn gray. It's just not a pretty picture for a small shop, especially. But yeah, I think if you can get your web team on board to jump onto Angular 2, and then you can really start to leverage this code sharing strategy, about 75%, maybe a little bit less of the code, you know, that you've already got, you can use on the service tier and even on the router to, spin up your native app if you layer on native script. It's a beautiful picture.
Do I need a Mac? This is probably, I know the answer to this, I think. Do I need a Mac to make Mac apps, or is there some cloud compiler? Like, is there Xcode underneath it? Like, what's the idea? I say build in Visual Studio Code, and then a miracle happens and a Mac app, iOS app pops out the other end.
Yeah. So this is the, one of the money propositions, of course, of Telerik platform, because we do cloud builds, and then, you know, you'll have your build happening in the cloud on your PC, and then you don't have to worry about buying a Mac. But for the open source project using the native script CLI, you're going to need, sadly, you're going to need a Mac for that, because it does rely on the Xcode and the Xcode emulator. So I don't know how Mac in cloud works, but have you ever taken a look at that?
I have not. I know that there are people who suggest the best way to do this is to buy like a Mac Mini and stick it in the closet.
Oh, there you go.
And treat it as your own kind of personal internal cloud.
Okay.
And I know that there are ways to do that. So it sounds like Telerik platform is one way to think about that as well.
Right. Yeah.
So you are utilizing the existing Android tools, and you're sitting on top of their tool chain. So you build Android, you do it all in native script. You probably never even have to see the Android tools, and then an Android app pops out. You don't have to open Xcode. An iOS app pops out the other end.
Right. Yeah. You're just basically leveraging the emulators, I should say. I always use JennyMotion, because I never can actually manage to get my Android emulator to behave itself on my Mac. So JennyMotion is a terrific little tool. Just open it up, and then you can live sync it. So every time you make a change in the code, it just refreshes and rebuilds.
Right.
And then you can see what's going on. It's great.
Yeah. I use the Visual Studio Android emulator on my Windows machine, because it uses Hyper-V. So the next great thing will be some way to have iOS running in an emulator on Windows, and then I'll be all set.
I wonder if this is ever going to happen. You know, will Apple ever allow this? I don't know.
You know, the thing is that it's possible, right? Like, anything's possible, isn't it?
I'm sure.
You know, it's possible, but it takes organizational willpower, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I used to evangelize a little bit informally for Corona SDK, and it was a great thing that everybody could just, you know, have the software installed, and then you have the most beautiful emulators just like, you know, rolling out your app, and it was a great thing to see, and there wasn't any issue because we weren't using native emulators. But then, of course, you hit the device, and then you see some issues because the emulator didn't really show you what was going on. So if you're building a native app, I guess you do need those native emulators. So you're just going to have to deal.
No, it seems totally reasonable. But I think the point is that in your regular work, in your, you know, edit and continue, edit and refresh kind of, you know, workflow, you're not thinking about it. Like, the friction level, I'm hearing you say, for something like native script is low. I feel like I'm writing TypeScript and JavaScript 90% of the time. When I want to call a native API, I can.
Yes.
But I don't necessarily feel constrained by the framework at all.
Exactly. Yeah. It's, I would say it's a very flexible framework, and you can, you know, write as much or as little of the native code as you want. You can branch, especially your UI, as much as you want. Mm-hmm. You could inline styles, like on Android, style my text box this way, and on iOS that way. You can do that inline. You can do it by separate style sheets, or you can even make your own little XML layouts. Some people have their own XML layouts for iPads versus iPhones versus, you know, smaller tablets, bigger tablets. It can get as complicated or as simple as you want. And I really appreciate that kind of flexibility. It's really nice.
So I just realized that we're using Angular, we're using JavaScript, but we're not using HTML. Our templates that we're going to bind our data to aren't going to say, you know, div and class and things like that. It's going to say grid layout and list view.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's where the code sharing story stops. because the UI is going to be different. You can make it look as similar as you want on the web versus native, but at some point you're going to have to deal with things like the way Android handles tab navigations and back buttons and that sort of thing versus the way iOS does it. So, and we don't have a DOM that we can manipulate like you do on the web. So we have to use XML. We can't, you know, have nice H1s and divs and Flexbox. I wish we could use Flexbox. That would be just paradise, but we're not there. Although you can now use keyframe animation. This is one of the really cool things we introduced in NativeScript 2. We do have our own animation module, but we just introduced the ability to support keyframe animations, and you can even bring animate.css, that little library of really nice little animations for bouncing and things flying around, and you can just bring that right on in and use that within a NativeScript app, and that's really exciting to have that sort of thing translated to native on an animation level and have it perform to a native level. It's really nice.
Which kind of brings us full circle, because that means that I can go into the App Store right now in an iPhone, because I have an iPhone, and I'm not going to be able to tell what's a native script app or what's not, because it's all just a native iOS app, and it'll look and feel. There's not going to be any, you know, any tell in poker terms.
Right.
That's going to give it away.
No sunglasses, right? Yeah. And if you want to take a look at a native script example, it's, there's, I think it's called Example Native Script. I think that's what it's called.
This is like an actual app?
Yeah, it's an actual app, and you can download that onto your phone, and you can feel the performance of it, and especially with those charts. That's actually an example of NativeScript UI, and it is the nice snappy bar charts and the pie charts that kind of swirl around, and it's really fun to play with. It demos very well, so I'm happy to have that at hand.
I'm searching right now, and I see examples NativeScript.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's full of layouts and conference. It's got a conference agenda, user profile. It's kind of an app of all trades.
It's a kitchen sink.
It's a kitchen sink app that lets me check that out.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for letting me talk about NativeScript. It's a fun thing to talk about.
Yeah. So you can check out NativeScript at nativescript.org and also on github.com/nativescript. And it's really worth pointing out that there's a lot of great samples up there. Particularly, there's a grocery list management app, which is a real nice NativeScript built iOS and Android app.
Mm-hmm.
So explore those. And it looks like you've got quite a lot of people working on it and some open issues. So maybe an opportunity to also get involved in open source.
Absolutely. Great opportunity. Great community. Hop on Slack and join us. We'd love to have you.
Very cool. This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.